Morning. I'd like to welcome everyone out to the Heather Ridge 6th Ward Sacrament Meeting. We have to excuse the bishop. He's out of town. He's asked me to both preside and conduct, and I'm Mike Roberts, the first counsel, for those who are visiting. The one announcement that we wanted to share with you, and I think we mentioned this last week, is that the Stake Trek kickoff is going to be held February 28th. From 7 to 8:30, that's all youth, 14 through 18, and their parents, as long along with ward youth leaders, and then there will also be other people that will be participating. So if you could put that on your calendar, we'd appreciate that. The opening hymn will be on page 294, Love at Home, and the invocation will be given by Scott Hill.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at the beginning of this sacrament meeting. We're grateful, Father, for the many blessings that we enjoy as a church and as individuals. We're thankful for Thy Son and His love and His example, and grateful for the opportunity we have to worship today. We pray that You'll bless us now as we attend this meeting, that Thy Spirit will be here, that we might be able to be sensitive to it. It will be touched and help us in our lives, in our journey to return to Thee. We pray that You'll bless us as we renew our covenants with Thee this day, that we might be able to ponder upon those things and remember those covenants that we have made. We pray that Thy Spirit will be with all those in our ward that aren't here at this time, that You'll watch over them and protect them also. And we pray for these things, Father, in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have a few items of business here. We've called the following individuals: Max Roberts, Stake Trek leader, if they could stand when their name's called; Sarah Buman, Stake Trek youth leader; Alexa Anderson, primary teacher; and Tiffany Wilcott, primary teacher. Those in favor may show it by the uplifted hand. Those who oppose, if any, may show it by the same sign. Thank you. You may be seated. We have received the records of the following members. And if they could stand when their name's called: Brandon Beebe, Christina Beebe, and Jackson Beebe. Those who wish to welcome these members into full fellowship in the Heather Ridge 6th Ward may do so by the uplifted hand. We have a wonderful program today. Our first speaker will be Sister Sydney Crabb. Following Sister Crabb, we will hear from Brother Larry Shaw. The intermediate hymn will be on page 181, Press Forward, Saints, and our concluding speaker will be Brother Jay Cranmer.
Good afternoon. I'm Sydney Crabb, for those of you who don't know me. I was asked to speak on the Godhead. Sorry if you can't really understand me. I've had a cold all week. But so on the church website, it gives the following information. It says, the church's first article of faith states, we believe in God the Eternal Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. These three beings make up the Godhead. They preside over this world and all other creations of our Father in heaven. The Mormon view of the members of the Godhead corresponds in a number of ways with the view of others in the Christian world, but with significant differences. Latter-day Saints pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. They acknowledge the Father as the ultimate object of their worship, the Son as the Lord and Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit as the messenger and revealer of the Father and the Son. But where Latter-day Saints differ from other Christian religions is in their belief that God and Jesus Christ are glorified physical beings and that each member of the Godhead is a separate being. The first lesson in Preach My Gospel discusses each of them individually. The first section, God is our loving Heavenly Father, states that we are his children and he loves us. He weeps with us when we suffer and rejoices with us when we do what is right. He sent us here to earth so we can face new experiences and learn and grow. Heavenly Father has provided a way for us to be successful in this life so we may return to live in his presence if we are clean and pure through obedience. He wants to communicate with us, and we can do so through prayer. I came across the scripture, John 14:18, which reads, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. This seems to be one of God's greatest qualities. He will always be there for us no matter what the situation. The story of the first vision focuses on the fact that they are two defined personages. It quotes, when the light rested upon me, I saw two personages whose brightness and glory defy all description, standing above me in the air. One of them spake unto me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Although Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father are completely separate, they are very similar in their doings and attributes. Because of the prophet Joseph Smith, the true church and gospel of Jesus Christ have been restored on the earth today. Knowing that doubt would remain throughout, Heavenly Father brought forth scriptures containing the fullness of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, known as the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. Whether or not we know it's true, we can be assured of it through the Holy Ghost. Moroni 10:3-5 says, behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men. From the creation of Adam even down until the time that ye shall receive these things, and ponder it in your hearts. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that ye would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart and with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you. By the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. In order to do so, we must ask in prayer to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ, if it is true. In answer to our prayers, the Holy Ghost will teach us truth through our thoughts and feelings. Because of the Holy Ghost, we can come to find the truth of all things. The power of the Holy Ghost can come upon one before baptism and is the convincing witness that the gospel is true. It is through the power of the Holy Ghost that a person receives a testimony of Jesus Christ. Its main role is to testify that Jesus is the Christ. All three of these images have such strong impact on our daily lives, and it's important that we truly understand their separate beings and roles. It's because of them that we are able to find truth and right. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I want to introduce myself as Sid Crabb's uncle. I've never had the opportunity to share the pulpit with a niece, and I think it's pretty special. It's a lot of fun. As an introduction, I almost feel like this is a reunion. There's so many familiar faces out in the audience, and yet I recognize a lot of faces that I don't know and probably don't know us. So just a brief introduction. I'm Larry Shaw. My wife Susan and I and Sam moved into the ward literally the week of Christmas. And those of you who come by the house right now, you can see there's still lots of boxes and stuff around. We're the parents of 8 children. Sam and Annie are still at home. Annie is actually serving a mission in South Carolina, Columbia, Spanish speaking. And then we have some other married children. Susan is actually in California visiting our 17th grandchild. When Brother Bexit asked me to speak today, he asked me to use Elder Foster's talk at the October 2015 conference, It's Never Too Early, It's Never Too Late. I shared with him that That talk has I remember when Elder Foster gave that talk. It has a lot of significance for me. As I reviewed the talk this past week, it reminded me that I'm more than a father, and that the principles that he talks about in his talk apply to me and to all of us in so many other ways. You know, I'm both a father, and I'm a grandfather, and I'm a father-in-law. I'm also a brother, an uncle, hopefully a friend, a good Christian in many ways. There are so many roles that our Father in Heaven has given us the opportunity to have in our lives. We've moved around quite a bit. We've lived in Texas, we lived in Colorado, we lived in Washington. In all of those places, I've had the opportunity to teach seminary, early morning seminary. I learned an important lesson as I prepared for those students, and this is a quote from Elder Packer. This is something that I tried to build my lessons around, talks that I give, lessons that I teach. Elder Packer, and I quote, "A principle is an enduring truth, a law, a rule you can adopt to guide you in making decisions. Generally, principles are not spelled out in detail. That leaves you free to find your way with an enduring truth, a principle as your anchor," end quote. So I want to share with you one of my anchors. I love teaching the New Testament when I had a chance to teach it in seminary. And so I want to share with you briefly an anchor that I want to establish for this talk. It's out of the New Testament. It's one of my favorite gospel stories. It's the story of the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Now, I'm not going to read through that. My favorite in the Gospels, go to Mark chapter 6 and start with verse 33. Now, if you'll recall, the Savior has just found out about the death of John the Baptist. I think of John the Baptist was probably his best friend. He went to seek some solitude. Remember what happened? As he went to seek solitude, the multitude saw him. They gathered around him. And the Savior had compassion in his heart. So what did he invite him to do? And states this in all the gospel. He invited them to sit down upon the green grass. That's an image that I grew up in Arizona. When I look at the lakes in Arizona, I don't see a lot of green grass around the lakes. That's my vision of the Holy Land. It might be different, but it surprises me, and it states it in all four Gospels, that he invites them to sit down upon the green grass. I've shared this in High Priests when I was here before. It seems like such an ordinary thing to write, but it paints such a vivid picture for me. So remember, the hour is late, and the disciples come to him, and he says, you know, we've got to send these people away, because they need to eat. And what does the Savior do? Invites them and says, what do we have? And they bring what? Five loaves and two fishes. The Lord blesses it and breaks it and feeds the 5,000. It says 5,000 men. So how many did he really feed? I love the symbolism of that miracle. To me, it paints a picture of the infinite potential of our Savior and what can happen under the Master's hand. You know, have you ever looked up sometimes and felt like all the resources you had in life were five loaves and two fishes? I know many times that those types of situations have happened in my life. But I think that if we remember to turn our prayers to the bread of life, we can find that our baskets are overflowing. So, the principle, how did I apply that to my life? Is it a manifestation of power? Is it that the Savior can solve our temporal needs? For me, that symbolism of infinite potential reminds me of our children. We have a daughter that only lived a brief 10 days. I know that through the atonement, that Susan and I, as a father, we will have the opportunity to have Macy as part of our life again, and we will be with her. Elder Foster quotes to us that he says, "Brothers and sisters, we are engaged in a battle with the world. In the past, the world competed for our children's energy and time. Today, it fights for their identity and mind. Many loud and prominent voices are trying to define who our children are and what they should believe. We cannot let society give our family a makeover in the image of the world. We must win this battle." Everything depends on it. As I look at Macy, I figure we've won that battle. What about our children today? You know, this is where I took a little bit of a twist from Elder Foster's comments. He's not competing just for our children. He's competing for our fathers, for our mothers, for our brothers, our sisters, our nieces, our nephews, our friends, and so forth. So it's never too late. So I want to share a couple of personal stories. By the time I graduated from high school, my parents were divorced. My dad had left the church. My dad had become a pretty bitter man, somebody that I didn't really like being around very much. Didn't even like being around with my family. Over the years, I've been reminded by a loving wife that I needed to honor my father and my mother. My mom never strayed too far from the church, never really active, but you know, she kind of tried to hang in there. My dad, anything church related was kind of not a topic of a conversation in our house. It was to the point where I didn't even like taking our children over. And yet, I knew he was my father. I prayed constantly for him when I went to the temple, put his name on the rolls, never believing that in my lifetime would I ever see the opportunity to see my father walk back through the chapel doors. A number of years ago, my stepmom passed away. For the first time in my dad's life, he found that he was all alone. He was significantly alone. There was nobody around for him. And yet, he had a good friend who for 20 years had been his home teacher without him knowing it. And when my stepmom passed away, that man, who is a dear friend of mine now, walked into my dad's house. He had a very, very young bishop who I got to know very well, who recognized a soul in turmoil and also walked into my dad's home and wrapped him in his arms. At the age of 80, my dad returned to the temple and has been a part of our lives. And his heart has been softened in so many ways that I can't even imagine. As I look up at the course that we stayed as a family to remember him in our prayers, to include him in our family activities, I will never, ever, ever forget Elder Foster's talks about it's never too late. You know, if my dad at 80 years old can repent and take advantage of the atonement and enter back into the doors of the temple, there's hope for all of us. When things got really bad with my family, I have a brother who's younger than I am, who's also pretty much turned away from the church. My brother's going through a divorce right now, and honestly, brothers and sisters, I can't remember which divorce this is. He's been married and divorced and married so many times. I've realized now I can't give up on my brother, and for the first time in my life, as I watch him, I can recognize that his heart is softening. So is it ever too late for us to remember, to be good examples, to remember them in our prayers? No, it's not. Let's talk about our children. Our oldest daughter, and there's people in this audience who know her. She was the trial of my faith. Her teenage years were about as difficult as I can ever imagine. Brother and sister, she made some very, very poor decisions as a teenager. And struggle through those. I remember when she went away to school. I don't know who was more excited about her going to school, me or her. Because when she left, peace came back into our home. I can't tell you the feelings that Susan and I had in our heart when a couple of years later, she was away at school, continuing to make some interesting decisions, called us up late, late, late one night and asked for forgiveness. You know, Susan and I would have given her the world at that point in time. We're so grateful to welcome her back into our family. Welcome her back into the family under the precepts and tenets that were so important to our family, and she recognized that. When Allison turned 21, she went on a mission. We looked up at this beautiful daughter of our Father in heaven, and the choices that she was making was so excited for her. But Allison has this side about her sometimes that when she got home, she met a young man who was also a returned missionary, not active, not going to church, not going to the temple, and they got married. And over a period of time, they too drifted away from the church. He didn't work very much, and Allison was trying to support him, and they decided the way to solve their problems was to buy a house, which just meant more debt because he still wasn't working and she was still trying to support things. And then they decided the answer to their prayers was to have children. So they had a son, great, gregarious kid who would keep this whole audience entertained if he were here today. And then late one night when we were miles away in another state, we got another phone call. There with an infant in her arms, her husband left her and walked out. You know, it's a lot of turmoil in a mom and dad's hearts as we got up early the next morning and drove to pick her up and gather what few earthly belongings were important to her and bring her home, where she stayed with us for a period of time while her heart healed and she was able to again kind of venture out on her own. She's married a young man who's also been through a divorce, but the two of them together are trying to patch their families together and recognize, I think for the first time in her life, how important the gospel is. And as a result, are striving to do the things that they need to do, have entered back into the temple, and we're so grateful for the blessing that she has been in our life. So do miracles occur? Absolutely. I recognize now that in all regards, again, that principle of the infinite potential of our Savior can have an impact in our lives in so many ways. You know, I'm also a father-in-law. It's brought some interesting blessings into my life. Our daughter who got married first has a son whose father has been completely inactive all his life. His dad is just now entering back into full fellowship in the church. I can't tell you the many nights around the campfire and family activities that I've been able to sit down with him and counsel with him as a father-in-law, to talk to him about my dad and the miracles that I've seen in my dad's family. I have another son-in-law who's, when he was 14, was riding with his dad when they were in a car accident, and his dad was killed. This is our youngest son-in-law. And so can you think of the hours that he and I have spent together as he's reached out to me for blessings and for guidance as he starts out his own family? You know, truly a blessing in my life. I just want you to know that the blessings of the atonement are real, and they can happen in so many ways in our lives. You know, as I look at our children today, Annie's on her mission. Brothers and sisters, what a blessing, you know. I'll just recount a quick story. When we moved into this ward the first time, we had the blessings of the Crabs in our life. I, for those of you who don't know, Susan and Karen are sisters. When we moved in with Crabs, I didn't have a job. I wasn't even sure where life was going to take us. It was kind of an interesting time of our lives. We stayed with them about a year. It was about a year and a half ago that we moved out, and we're leasing a home. Our lives have changed tremendously. We've been blessed in so many ways, both through their family and through Annie going on a mission. Annie received her mission call, and I got a new job. And Susan, it's just been incredible, the blessings that that we've been able to receive. We have a family reunion every year, every 3 years. The pivotal point of that family reunion is our family home evening. And as mom and dad, as the patriarchs of our family, we take the opportunity to set a gospel principle that we're going to follow for our family reunion. And then the kids, especially the older kids, give me a hard time because grandpa and dad and gets to stand up on his soapbox for a short period of time and share with them the important messages of the gospel that are important in our lives. Have the opportunity to give out Father's blessings as appropriate. Elder Foster quoted, "However, if we can help them grow roots of deep conversion, then in the heat of the day when this life gets tough, and it will, the gospel of Jesus Christ can give them something within that cannot be affected from without. How can we ensure that these powerful truths are not just going in one ear and out the other? Hearing words just might not be enough," end quote. So what's been our plan? So what have we done that's extraordinary and different? Brothers and sisters, we haven't done anything extraordinary. I've got a loving wife who ensures that we have prayer every morning and every night with our family. And even more importantly, we make sure that our children see us pray both individually and as a couple as well. We read the scriptures every night. You know how hard that's getting as our children get older and get dispersed and move away to sit down and just try to read or share a scripture in the evenings? And yet we hold fast to those truths. Family home evening in our home is as turbulent as it probably is in everybody's home. You know, sometimes it's a matter of just dad just trying to pull together something quick at the prompting of a good mom and spouse to make sure that we try to do something every week. And it can be very insignificant at times, but our older children now look up and I can see the patterns that we've set in our lives that they're now following in their lives. Elder Foster goes on to say, our Heavenly Father wants us to succeed because really, after all, they were His children before they were ours. As parents in Zion, you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. As you pray for guidance, it will show unto you all things what ye should do in teaching your children. As you develop processes of learning, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children, end quote. And that's my faith and prayer. I know that through the power of the Holy Ghost, if we will just invite the Spirit to be in our home, you know, if we'll just do what our Father, those basics that our Father in heaven has asked us to do, come to church, say our prayers, read our scriptures. As we set those patterns for our children, I know that there will be blessings in our lives as we've seen our children struggle, as we've seen family members struggle, and we've seen them come back to those roots that we've tried to plant deep in their hearts, whether it's in a simple home evening, or just gathered around the table as we've read the scriptures and said our prayers. I love my Father in heaven. I love coming to sacrament meeting. I love the renewal that we get when we have the opportunity to participate in the sacrament. You know, I testify to you that God is our Father in heaven. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for us, and that through Him and by Him, we have the opportunity to return and be with our Father in heaven someday. I bear witness to you that the atonement is real. It can solve the very vicissitudes of life. Every problem, everything that happens in our lives, that through the atonement, the Savior is there for us and can buoy us up and lead us on. The gospel's true. Book of Mormon's real. Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God. And I bear testimony that, again, if we just pay attention to those little details, have faith and are obedient, remember the Savior, remember who He is, that I testify to you that we can be blessed and that the very miracles that the atonement can apply in our lives, we can realize today, and that we don't have to forget about somebody who's 80 and moving on to in a period of life where I never thought he'd be a part of our life again, to our children and grandchildren who are sitting around us today, who we can have a tremendous influence on. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here, grateful for the opportunity of being in the ward again, and looking forward to being able to get to know many of you and all of you as the opportunity presents. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Brothers and sisters, I've been assigned the topic, Tested and Tempted, but Helped. And this is from a talk by Elder Hugo Montoya that was given in this most recent conference. Now, I can see many of my high priest brethren out there laughing. They say, now, how's Brother Cranmer going to address this topic when all he knows is two topics, temple and golf? Well, Brother Montoya came to my rescue, and he's going to talk about the temple. And as I was reading through the scriptures the other day, I had reaffirmed to me that there is golf in the next life. I came across a scripture, and it says, God's course is one eternal round. We're taught that there is opposition in all things. There's lightness, light and dark, heat, cold. But I'd rather think of, rather than opposition, that it's balance, that we have balance in our life. And so in order to balance out my talk today, I'm going to need your help. So if any of you stop listening before I stop talking, just raise your hand, and then I'll try and balance this out for us. Brother Montoya says, during the course of life, we're tested and tempted. We also have the opportunity to exercise agency and to help one another. These truths are part of the wonderful and perfect plan of our Heavenly Father. President John Taylor taught, I heard the prophet Joseph say in speaking to the 12 on one occasion, you have all kinds of trials to pass through, and it's quite as necessary for you to be tried as was for Abraham and the other prophets, another man of God. And said he, God will feel after you, and he will take hold of you and wrench your very heartstrings. Now that's a little scary to me. Once we reach the age of accountability, trials and temptations are universal. Sometimes they can become heavy burdens, but they also give us strength and growth as we successfully overcome them. Fortunately, these burdens are not to be carried alone. Alma taught us, ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light. These words indicate that we have the responsibility to help each other. That responsibility can come from a church calling, an assignment, or a friendship, or as part of our divine duty as parents, spouses, or family members, or simply from being part of God's family. Sister Cranmer and I received a phone call about 6:15 this morning that one of our dearest friends had passed away during the night. And I felt that deep responsibility to go there. They're here in Orem, and to be with them. But I also knew that that I had this responsibility here today. And so I hope that you'll bear with me. Brother Montoya says he will illustrate four ways that our burdens are lightened as we help each other. Number one, the Savior said, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. For example, we were asked to attend the temple regularly. Told you the temple would come in here. As our individual circumstances allow, attending the temple requires sacrifice of time and resources, especially for those who must travel a great distance. Nevertheless, this sacrifice could be considered part of the first mile. We begin walking the second mile when we understand the words find, take, teach. When we search for and prepare the names of our ancestors for temple ordinances, when we help in indexing, when we serve as temple workers, and when we look for ways to help others have meaningful temple experiences. Brother Montoya said that when he was serving as an era 70, one of the stakes in his coordinating council participated in a large temple excursion. The temple the members attended is small, and unfortunately there were several members who, despite making the long 12-hour journey, were not able to enter the temple because it had exceeded the daily capacity. And we complained because we have to travel 15 to 17 minutes to get to temple and maybe wait 20 minutes once we get there. A few days after the trip, Elder Montoya went to the stake president and asked him if he could talk with some of the members who were unable to attend the temple that day. One of the brothers he visited told him, Elder, do not worry. I was at the house of the Lord. I sat on a bench in the garden and pondered in my mind the ordinances. Then I was given the opportunity to enter, but instead I allowed another brother who had come to the temple for the first time to be sealed to his wife to take my place. They then had the opportunity to attend two sessions that day. Elder Matoya said, the brother told him, he says, the Lord knows me, and he has blessed me, and we are fine. Number two, smile. This small action can help those who are overwhelmed or burdened. During the priesthood session of this past April General Conference, I was seated on the stand as one of the five newly called general authorities. We were sitting where the Sisters of the Auxiliary Presidencies are now seated. I was feeling very nervous and overwhelmed with my new call. When we were singing the intermediate hymn, I felt a strong impression that someone was watching me. I thought to myself, there are more than 20,000 people in this building, and most of them are facing this way. Of course somebody's looking at me. And I had the same impression just a minute ago as I looked down the audience and 20,000 eyes are upon me and Brother Butler smiled at me, so thank you. While I continued singing, I again felt a strong impression that someone was watching me. I looked over to the row where the 12 apostles were sitting and saw that President Russell M. Nelson, was turned all the way around in his seat, looking at where we were seated. I caught his eye and he gave me a big smile. That smile brought peace to my overwhelmed heart. After his resurrection, Jesus Christ visited his other sheep. He called and ordained 12 disciples, and with that authority, they ministered to the people. The Lord Jesus Christ himself stood among them. The Lord asked them to kneel and pray. I'm not sure if the newly called and ordained 12 disciples were overwhelmed with their calling, but the scripture says, it came to pass that Jesus blessed them, and they did pray unto him, and his countenance did smile upon them. And the light of his countenance did shine upon them. During the last general conference, a smile lightened my burdens in an immediate and extraordinary way. Number three, express feelings of compassion to others. If you are a priesthood holder, please use your power on behalf of the children of God, giving blessings to them. Express words of consolation and comfort to people who are suffering or experiencing afflictions. Number four, the cornerstone of God's plan is the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was very happy to hear Brother Shaw talk about the atonement. At least once a week, we should meditate, as President Joseph F. Smith did, on the great and wonderful love made manifest by the Father and the Son in the coming of the Redeemer into the world. Inviting others to come to church and to worthily partake of the sacrament will allow more of Heavenly Father's children to reflect on the atonement. And if we are not worthy, we can repent. Remember that the Son of the Highest descended below all and took upon him our offenses, sins, transgressions, sicknesses, pains, afflictions, and loneliness. The scripture teaches us that Christ descended up on high, and also he descended below all things, in that he comprehended all things. I make it a policy once a year to read Brother Tad Callister's book, The Infinite Atonement. And in this book, Brother Callister states, and I'll quote, "One does not speak lightly of the atonement or casually express his appreciation. It is the most sacred and sublime event in eternity. It deserves our most intense thoughts, our most profound feelings, and our noblest deeds. One speaks of it in reverential tones. One contemplates it in awe. One learns of it in solemnity. This event stands alone now and throughout all eternity." As Ammon recounted his success with the Lamanites, he gloried in the Lord, and then in humble recognition of his inability to articulate it all, he declared, "I cannot say the smallest part which I feel." Brother Callister says, "I cannot In like manner, the passions of my own heart extend far beyond my verbal reservoirs. I feel as did Elder Marion G. Romney, who said, "Contemplation of the atonement moves me to the most intense gratitude and appreciation of which my soul is capable. Even then, I am left sorely wanting." Brothers and sisters, it does not matter what our personal struggles are, whether they are disease or prolonged loneliness or suffering the temptations and tests of the adversary. The Good Shepherd is there. He calls us by name and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Brother Montoya then summarizes the 4 points. First, go the second mile. Second, smile. Your smile will help others. Third, express compassion. Fourth, invite others to come to church. Brother Montoya then says, "I bear my testimony of the Savior. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he lives. I know that he sustains with all his might and power the Father's plan. I know that President Thomas S. Monson is a living prophet. He holds all the keys to successfully carry out God's work on the earth. I know that we can help each other as children of our Heavenly Father in our trials and temptations." And I join with Elder Montoya in expressing my testimony to this, and do so in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank our speakers for their wonderful talks and their spirit. It's always inspiring as you hear other members of the ward speak from their heart and their testimonies. We really appreciate that. We also would like to thank Sister Dupree and Brother Young for the music. Our closing hymn will be "The Iron Rod," found on page 274, and the benediction will be given by Heidi Waite.
Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the moisture that we received today, and we're very thankful for the preparation that was made by our speakers to share with us important messages about thy love. Help us to remember the things that Christ has done for us, and that it's not too late to come back if we are having struggles or we are falling away. We're also very grateful for our prophet who leads and guides us and lets us know what we need to be doing. Please bless those who are not with us today. Bless those who are in mourning, that they will be comforted. Bless those that are experiencing natural disasters and other things and all parts of the world, that they will find relief. We ask that thou wilt bless our bishop who is away from us, that he will return safely. And we ask that thy spirit will go with us to our next meetings, and that we will have open minds and hearts as we learn of thy gospel and take that with us this week. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.